infamous Handmaid's Tale lectures, the audio lectures, and I can report that it's now completely light outside. It's 5:37 in the morning, and this has been a blast. It's been a lot of fun doing this. I want to talk about the historical notes section. Now, this is a really cool part of this book, I think. As I mentioned, what the talk is titled Problems of Authentication in Reference to the Handmaid's Tale. Well, that's exactly what we've been trying to deal with, right? How do we know what's happening? How do we know where things have gone, what's happened to the United States, all these details in there we're trying to figure out from the very beginning, sorting through questions of word choice and things like that, as these historians, these future historians, wind up doing with this text that they find, right? So what are the problems that they're facing, wondering about names and identities, the question of how it was composed, of course, which is really interesting and suddenly helps make this narrative take a completely different shape, right? What do they say on page 301? We have this passage where first of all, let's just take a step back here. Being the historical notes on A Handmaid's Tale, being a partial transcript of the proceedings of the 12th Symposium of the Gileadian Studies, held as part of the International Historical Association Convention, held at the University of Dene, Nunavut, on June 25th, 2195. Now, and then you'll see Chair Professor Marianne Crescent Moon, Department of Caucasian Anthropology, the University of Dene, Nunavut, and a keynote speaker, Professor James Darcy Pixoto, Director of 20th Century and 21st Century Archives from Cambridge University, England, right? And, of course, remember that it's Cambridge, Massachusetts that's turned into this, there's the center of Gilead there. And now, some critics outside of Canada have seen this thing at University of Dene, or Nunavut, say, oh, it's a pun. It means deny none of it, right? But that's absolutely... trying to think of a nice word. Balderdash. The Dene people are a native tribe up north in Canada, living mainly in the Northwest Territories. And Nunavut is now, although this was maybe 15 years after Atwood wrote her book, but I think it's the name of this place... is something she must have known or figured out. Nunavut means your land, and that's the name of the third northern territory in Canada, which became a territory at some point in the 1990s, became its own territory. It was formerly part of the Northwest Territories, which they split into because it's vast territory, and came up with this land, Nunavut. So here you have a professor of Marianne Crescent Moon, Department of Caucasian Anthropology. So she's obviously a First Nations person, and that's what we sort of commonly use instead of, here you would probably say Native American. In Canada, we say First Nations. Department of Caucasian Anthropology. So she's there giving this sort of talk, and this is really Atwood's sort of parody. It's very humorous, this whole last section. Parody of the typical academic conference. So here you have the fishing expedition will go forward tomorrow as planned, and the nature walk and outdoor period costume sing-song have been rescheduled for the day after tomorrow. And Professor Johnny Running Dog will perhaps perform a rain dance or something to cause a break in the weather. Here we learn about some of the papers that are being given about this. About Gilead and that kind of thing. And the paper here is, one of the papers is about Iran and Gilead, two late 20th century monotheocracies as seen through diaries. And again, here the question of a diary suddenly comes into play, right? Now here he talks about the Professor Pixioto, on page 300 and 301, and talks about The Handmaid's Tale. And of course, as you might have figured out, there's the allusion to Chaucer, right? The Canterbury Tales there. And Professor Wade from Cambridge gives it that name, right? And, or is it Professor Wade? Sorry, that's someone else. This question of, and this sort of, again, this sort of sexist joke here about The Handmaid's Tale, this sort of vulgar connotation there, and people laugh and applaud and stuff like that, showing that in some ways things have not changed in many ways. This document, The Handmaid's Tale, it turns out, is not necessarily a document at all. It wasn't a manuscript at all. It was, in fact, a series of tapes that are put together, right? And this Foot Locker that contained all these audio tapes. And so as we see, 30 tapes in the collection altogether, and camouflage, some recordings are hidden in the middle of them, and you see, of course, these secular tapes from the time, Twisted Sisters, Carnegie Hall, being one he's particularly fond of. And so here's where it gets really fascinating. Although the labels were authentic, they were not always appended to the tape with the corresponding songs. So thus it was up to Professor Wade and myself to arrange the blocks of speech in the order in which they appeared to go. But as I've said elsewhere, all such arrangements are based on some guesswork and are to be regarded as approximate, pending further research. Remember what Offred tells us, right? About how this is all a reconstruction. Well, ironically, the story is put together, is reconstructed by these scholars later on. They too are reconstructing it. So in fact, it's a reconstruction three times removed, right? And then, in fact, they also had to transcribe it, and they had to get rid of some of the maybe the archaisms, things like in language that they could figure out, and then also the question of, could it be a forgery? Might it not be true, right? What is going on there with these tapes, and are they genuine or not? Are the things that Offred describes as having happened true? That's a question that she gets us to ask, and that's reinforced here again later. It's like suddenly someone sort of pulls the curtain away, and we see the whole frame of the story for what it is, and it's put together by these men, importantly, who have are historians of the Gilead regime. Now, on page 304, we start to find out why and how handmaids were chosen and that kind of thing, and what the decline in fertility and those types of things. And as we see, the need for what I may call birth services was already recognized in the pre-Gilead period, where it was being inadequately met by artificial insemination fertility clinics and the use of surrogate mothers. Gilead outlawed the first two as irreligious, but legitimized and enforced the third, which was considered to have biblical precedence. So here we learn about how some of these things came to be, a lot of the information that's left out of course, Offred's narrative. And we start to learn more about these things and some speculation on who these men might have been, that kind of thing. And as he says, again, the question of what ultimately happened to Offred is not known. We don't know exactly what happens. Did our narrator reach the outside world safely or build a new life for herself? Or was she discovered in her attic, hiding place, arrested, sent to the colonies or to Jezebels, or even executed? And this is, again, the question. As all historians know, the past is a great darkness and filled with echoes. Voices may reach us from it, but what they say to us is imbued with the obscurity of the matrix out of which they come, and try as we may, we cannot always decipher them precisely in the clearer light of our own day. An applause. And then he ends this, and Atwood ends this with, are there any questions? And that's the question I leave with you. Are there any questions? And certainly this book leaves us with many, right? What are we to make of this narrative suddenly that's been pieced together, that's been transcribed by someone else, that's been rearranged by someone else? How does this fit with what we're thinking the narrative has been doing up until now? So that's the question I'm going to leave with you with in a record time of under 11 minutes. And we'll talk to you online very, very soon. Thanks for your patience, and we'll see you later today.